Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Blog Talk Radio. This is West Side Visions. I am Brother Tony Bullock with my co-host, Sister Eileen Reed. Sister Reed, are you there?
I am here, Brother Bullock.
And thank you for joining us tonight.
Yes.
Sister Reed, how has your evening been?
Well, it has been a very eventful evening for me as the president of Fresno Freedom School. We had a very, very informative and supportive article published in a local newspaper called the Business Journal. And I want to give a shout out to our founder, Floyd Harris, and many of our volunteers, of which you, Tony Bullock, are one. And just want to thank the community for supporting Fresno Freedom School. And this has nothing to do with our topic tonight, but I am very happy and elated that Fresno Freedom School is getting some recognition. So I've had a very good day. Thank you for asking.
Yes, indeed. I have to be honest, as a longtime volunteer, I want to thank the reporter, Frank, who did an awesome job. And instead of sticking us on a back page, he put us up front on the front page, the top story. And I really appreciate that because so many times stories about places like ours, Fresno Freedom School, they're good to fill a spot, but very rarely do they get a top heading. And I really want to thank him for taking some great pictures and for writing a great story and putting it up front to be seen.
Yes, indeed. Frank Lopez, you did a great job.
Yes, he did a great job. And I also want to thank our young people who welcomed him with open arms and was very courteous. And, you know, over the years, and Fresno Freedom School has been around for a while.
Yes.
This is not something new, something that somebody got together to put together. Pastor Floyd Harris Jr. had this vision many, many years ago and started it. And we've been very lucky to help him with it when we came into the scene, and he allowed us in. And like you say, I appreciate all the volunteers that work with us and the people who support us. There are just several people out there who make donations, who give their time, who try to make sure that these young folks have a positive direction to go in. I am very appreciative of that.
Yes, indeed. And I want to give a special shout out to Sister Diana Bruton, who is working with children in the South Valley here in California. So she's down in Bakersfield, and she's working with children, Chowchilla, which is north, by the way, and children in Sanger, as well as Bakersfield. So we have some wonderful adults who work in this program, as well as these dedicated children. So Brother Bullock, I have to tell you, this has been one of the best days that I've experienced in a long time working with Fresno Freedom School. My heart is full. My heart is full.
Yes, indeed. I can understand that. You know, and I want to thank you for sending me that story. And when I saw the picture, it was like, wow. It just kind of blew me away. But, you know, the thing about it is he did an excellent job with it. And to give those young folks that recognition, that was a beautiful thing. And not only that, you know, that's kind of make me overlook some of the craziness that the Republicans is putting out right now.
Oh my goodness. Yes, let's talk about that. You start.
Well,
I mean, there's a lot. We've got some crazy Democrats. I mean, RFK Jr. is just, I don't know. I don't know if the wheel is broken and he's going off the cliff or if he's just got something else going, but he's been on a rant lately, too, making anti-Semitic remarks.
Yeah. He's been on a rant because he has GOP backing and he's been paid to make a rant. And it is real sad when you decide to go to those links. One of the things that has gotten me lately is the fact that you have had people for days on the GOP side making these excuses for 45 for the crimes that he did and have been accused of. And, you know, it has gotten to the point now where it's like even those who are supposedly running against him in this upcoming election are standing before a podium going, well, you know, he's really not that bad of a guy. Hold up. If you are honestly running for president against this man, one would think that you would take this opportunity to state your opinion and not stand there and defend him.
Well, they don't want to get torn to shreds by the MAGA cult that has control, a vice-like control over the GOP. It's really unfortunate, though, Brother Tony, because they're all reading from the same playbook of lies. And you hear the same sort of statements being made over and over and over again. And I guess they're thinking if they tell this lie enough, somebody's going to believe it. But nobody believes it except people in their own cult.
That's the crazy part. It's like throw it up in the air and we'll see who catches it.
Exactly.
It is absolutely nuts. And then if that wasn't crazy enough, Chuck Grassley released this internal document with these unverified claims about Joe Biden accepting bribes 10, 15 years ago. And it's like, why would you do it? You know, he wants to drag the FBI into it. Why would you do that?
Right. But wait, I thought, was it the FBI or the CIA that they were saying was a compromise agency? It was one of them that they were saying was compromised.
They said that both are compromise agencies.
Okay.
See, first it was FBI, and then they asked the CIA.
See, you know what's funny to me, though, Brother Tony, is the fact that all of us who are old enough to remember know that Joe Biden was – he's always been a Democrat, that's true, but Joe Biden was one of those old-school Democrats, like, you know, old-school, like Tip O'Neill old-school. He was very conservative about a lot of things, and Biden has done a lot of things in his past that he's had to apologize for. For Grassley to have to go back 15 years to find something, I'm like, please. That's still not you still can't measure that against the kind of treasonous behavior that 45 had going here.
But here's the killing part. The whole thing about this is none of this has been verified. And the killing is like a Ukraine executive boasted that he bribed Joe and Hunter Biden. But there is no trail, there is no proof, there is nothing saying that this took place.
Well, if you're trying to manufacture something out of out of air and make it whole cloth, but that's the problem with the GOP. They think that they can make the lies stick. As you say, they want to throw up the lies and see who's going to catch it. But nobody is trusting a political party that is going to endorse for president a man with three federal indictments. I mean, my goodness, what else do you need? What happened to morality and integrity and character? All those just got thrown out the window.
You know, and the killing part is, you know, the document that he is talking about was sparsely redacted, and supposedly the executive who claimed all this happened for a company called Bermeza, and he was the CEO, talking about he was coerced into discussing a $10 million bribe to the Bidens, though he's unclear if the money was ever paid or how. And Joe Biden was vice president at the time.
Right.
So,
and there's
he was the vice president, but the president was Obama, so we know who was getting the money.
Right. Oh, wow. Yeah. See, this is, okay, so if you're going to accuse somebody, why not do it when they're most vulnerable, when he was the sitting vice president? You know, I mean, so you're going to bring
but
it up.
But supposedly
now.
This is when this happened, when he was the sitting vice president.
Exactly. And they didn't bring it up then, but they're going to bring it up now. That is, it's a comedy. This is like a comedy slash tragedy that's happening in our country. And I am sure that other foreign countries are looking at us and just laughing their behinds off because who would have thunk it? That our country could sink so low. And I know politics can be a dirty business, but this is beyond the pale. It really is.
Oh, yeah. Politics is truly a dirty business. And, you know, the GOP has gone the way of the dodo bird. And after seeing what happened with those fake electors in Michigan, all I can say is that the ignoramuses are going marching in. And it's sad that you want to call yourself a serious party.
No,
you're the party of Lincoln. No, you're not. Because what represented you guys are far from that.
Yes.
There's no truth. There's no honor. There's no decency left in that party. And Marjorie Taylor Greene proved that the other day with what she pulled.
Exactly. Frightening is not the word for it. What appalls me, what is appalling to me, is the fact that they do not have a problem with neo-Nazis, white supremacists. They don't have a problem with any of these people. Being in their party, they have no problem with hatred. And racism.
None whatsoever. None. And they will support it to the end.
Yeah. I'm like, I keep my mouth open. I'm catching flies all the time, Brother Tony, because at my age, I never would have thought I'd seen something like that. I've never been a supporter of Republican politics. However, this is a new low for the GOP. This is a new low for them.
Yeah, a new high and low.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely correct. A new high and low for them.
Absolutely.
If anyone would ever told me, and trust me, I've seen old school Republicans, like you brought up Tip O'Neill.
Mm-hmm.
And a few others. I've seen old school Republicans who supported their party but still had an air of decency about them. It was okay to agree to disagree.
I was thinking people like Strom Thurmond, people like that, you know, them old school Dixiecrat racist people. My memory could save me. I thought Chip O'Neill was a Democrat.
Yeah. Chip was a Democrat, but what I'm saying is they were old school Republicans old school politicians that it was okay to stand for your party, but they even dealing with the other party.
It was okay to disagree. I misunderstood. My mistake. Mea culpa.
No. It was okay to agree to disagree.
Yes.
You know, they didn't start hating each other. There was none of this, I'm going to do whatever I can to ruin you. I'm going to try to find some way to take your name. They didn't do all of that. They agreed to disagree. Because at the end of the day, they would vote the way they wanted to vote on a bill. And at the end of the day, they'd all go to a bar and have a drink together.
Yes, they would. And if you were the kind of politician who could get some things done, I mean, look, at nobody remembers how good a politician somebody like Lyndon Baines Johnson was. Lyndon Johnson was a damn good politician because he knew so many people on the other side of the aisle. He knew how to do that kind of bartering and still get what he wanted.
Yeah, he did.
That's the kind of old school politician I'm thinking of. But now it's a whole different ballgame. We're talking about people who are put one step above being gangsters and thugs out in the street, and not even one step above. I mean, look at those people on January 6th that stormed the congressional building. I mean, wow.
But see that right there, that was everyday people who bought into the lies, who bought into the lies. But when it comes to politicians, you have politicians now who don't study the Constitution, who don't try to find out how politics work.
Nope. Have no idea about Robert's rules.
They figure that they can go from being a barmaid or being a truck driver and just jump in there with that same attitude, not pick up a book, not try to learn about the government that they're representing or how to represent it. That's why you see so many House Republicans doing the dumbest of the dumb.
Like you said, they don't know how to govern. And so they just, you know, they spend a lot of time clowning. But when I think about people like George Santos, Lauren Boebert, Marjorie Taylor Greene, I mean, how in the hell did these people get elected? And notice, Brother Tony, how quiet Quad has been on the Democratic side. They've been awfully quiet. You don't hear
Actually, they have not been quiet. AOC and the squad have been challenging certain things. But like the Republicans always do, they circle the wagons behind dumb stuff. And what they did was seized on a comment that one of the squad made about Israel. And of course, the mainstream press went right along with it, and that's all they've been focusing on. But no, AOC and the squad have been speaking out. In fact, there was just something in the news the other day that I read about them confronting the Speaker of the House, who is Kevin McCarthy, about some things he had to say about the Democrats. So, there's other things. They're not sitting back silent, but there are other things going on in the woodwork.
Well, I think they are taking the advice of some of the more seasoned Democrats, and they're learning their craft.
Exactly.
And I think that's – I didn't mean to say that they were being silent as a bad thing. I wanted to just add that I think that they are learning their craft. They're learning their way around the Capitol, and they are getting a bird's-eye view of the rise and fall of a political party, because I really think that the GOP is going to burn itself to the ground. It's just a matter of time.
Well, yes, that's what they're doing. They are – listening to people like Maxine Waters, like Katie Porter. They're starting to listen to, like, Chuck Schumer. They're starting to listen to some of them old school seasoned Democrats who've been around for a while. You know, you can learn things from your elders.
From junior people like Hakeem Jeffries and Cory Booker. I mean, there's a lot to learn to get around in Washington, and I think that they're doing a bang-up job, you know, the
yes,
younger women.
Exactly.
So,
as I was getting ready to say, you can learn things from your elders. You don't get old in politics being no fool.
Nope. You really
and
don't.
Yes, they can learn from Jeffries. They can learn from Booker. But they really want to learn, they go talk to them old school Democrats.
Like Nancy Pelosi. Yes, like
he
Nancy Pelosi. That's somebody who could teach them some stuff. Yes.
Who has spent their lifetime honing their craft.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I agree. I totally agree. You know, this, I think this is going to be one of the most unusual election years, and not just for president, but I mean down the line, because Americans are really going to be called on to make a difference. This is one of the first elections, I believe, where half the population is young. You know, they're not baby boomers that are going to be calling shots. It's going to be young voters who are going to be making a difference this time around. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens.
You know, here's the thing. You're going to have a lot of first-time voters, but the real true thing about this upcoming election is that you're going to see exactly who people are. Because one of the things I have learned, being a voter myself, being out there, people will say one thing and do another. If somebody would have told me that 55% of white women would have voted for 45, considering everything he had to say about women, I would have told him they were lying. But yet, they went into that booth and bagged him. And I can remember seeing a news story when a woman come out and said, I voted the way my husband told me to. I wanted to do something different, but I'm an obedient wife, and I did what I was told. And the reporter stands there and goes, well, you know, ma'am, I can understand that. See,
so
even garbage like that that gets it is garbage like that that gets me. You know, you can't give them a pen. You have to call them out for what they do.
But see, this is one of the issues that I had about feminism in the 70s. And don't get me wrong, there are plenty of black feminists. But white women can swing both ways when it comes to so many things. And nobody calls them on it. Like with chattel slavery, hello, you know, they were a part of that too, along with their slaveholding husbands. And it's the same everything down the line. I mean, okay, so they vote for 45, and they're figuring, well, hey, I've got my white privilege, you know, I've got all this other stuff going for me. I don't have to, you know, whichever way it goes, I'm going to be okay. And what happened? 45 gets in there, puts up this Supreme Court that's messing around with Roe, and boom, I knew that was going to happen. Roe gets overturned. And now white women want to scream and shout about Roe being overturned because it's starting to affect so many of them. But they weren't thinking about that initially. They were only thinking about, you know, even if 45 gets in, I'm going to be okay. So I understand what you're saying, Brother Tody, but it does not surprise me. I was not surprised by that. So we'll see how it all sucks out.
Believe it or not, we have a caller. So let me jump over here and grab this call.
Okay. And, we have to our topic tonight. Go ahead.
Who we got knocking on the door? All right, 4277, although I believe I know who this is. Will you go ahead and sign in, please?
Good evening. How are you all doing this evening?
Good.
It's our favorite nephew on the line, Dr. Reverend Floyd Harris Jr.
Yes, indeed. Y'all
rocking and rolling and rocking, I see.
We just trying to hold up the standard. You know how that go.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I'll congratulate y'all on your successful show last Tuesday night. And you guys are the hottest thing in West Fresno right now and across the country. And, you know, I believe your topic, your second episode, was still talking about the environmental racism piece, if I'm correct.
Yeah.
Yes, we are. We're going to jump into that. And I'm glad you called in because you can roll right with us.
Yep.
All right. Y'all go ahead. I'm going to be listening.
Okay.
All right. And speaking of that, we're going to jump off in this. Now, Sister Eileen, I'm going to need you to pump your brakes for a hot second because I'm going to throw this out there, and then I want you to jump on it.
Okay. Go on.
All right. So today I'm doing research, and I got hit with something that shook me to my core. Fresno County and City is the dirtiest place in America for short-term particle pollution, according to a report published today by the American Lung Association. The Fresno metro area saw a greater than 40% annual increase in the Lung Association statistics for annual short-term exposure to what they call PM.25 particles. The San Joaquin Valley air pollution has for decades been an amalgam of dust, dung, and diesel from the region's sprawl in the suburbs, petrochemical companies, laden farmlands, mega dairies, and we know about them dairies, and, of course, big box warehouses. Valley air pollution swells in a more noxious drift with the addition of what they call fallout from the smoke from the Sierra Nevada mountains, and of course, our all-time favorite, these rendering plants working nonstop.
Yes,
the Bakersfield Fresno area and Visalia Metro have the three annual concentrations of particle pollution in the entire United States.
Wow. Now, see, I'm so glad you laid out that air quality in Fresno. And people think that those of us who live in the Central Valley are kidding about that, but we are not kidding. And this is one of the reasons why that people who live in 93706 in West Fresno have a 20-year life deficiency for being alive. 20 years is taken off the life of West Fresnans because of this type of thing. And let me just reiterate to the listening public what environmental racism is. It's a type of inequality where people in communities of color and other low-income communities face a disproportionate risk of exposure to pollution and related health conditions. So you just found that today, Brother Tony?
Found it today.
Wow.
And that's big. Now, big as California is, here we are, the Central Valley, and if you've ever paid attention, whenever you jump on a plane and fly out and fly back in, if you ever pay attention and get a real good look coming back in, you will realize we kind of live in a bowl.
We have the mountains.
We have the mountains, and they're shaped a certain way, so that means unless we get a good, strong wind, the pollution just hangs over the valley.
Exactly.
And like the pictures I posted Tuesday and some today, you will notice that we have those layers, and air quality has changed drastically.
And the heat that we're experiencing right now makes it worse.
Exactly.
It's cooking.
All of that comes into play.
Yes.
All of that comes into play.
And, you know, Brother Tony, one of the problems that we have is not having enough black and brown voices at the table when these type of policy-making things are being discussed and all of that. There was a young man, I can't remember his name, but I believe he was a Edison student who did an air quality test and all that, and he was being lauded for that, and that was great because he was putting up test things all over, you know, West Fresno to show air quality. The thing is that our politicians take all that information, they pat this young man on the back, but they're not doing anything to fix the problem.
Good job.
You did this. We need more black and brown voices sitting at those tables talking about how we are going to fix this. And, you know, one of the things that I wanted to add, because we already went over the fact on Tuesday that this is a local problem, it's a state problem, it's a national problem, and it's a global problem. I just want to lay out something based on the global aspect of this. Now, they call this the global north and the global south. Okay, so the global north are the industrial countries of the U.S., Canada, Europe, Australia, New Zealand, Israel, and Japan. Okay, that's the global north, everybody. The global south is Latin America, Africa, and Asia. And they're talking about like India. But here's the part that gets me, y'all. The global north is responsible for 92% of excess global emissions. Let me say that again. The global north is responsible for 92% of excess global emissions. The global south only has 8% of global emissions, 8% of these so-called undeveloped countries. So racism, environmental racism, is making money for so many countries and so many people. This is why nothing's being done about it, and we're not really talking about that yet, but somebody's making money off of this.
Well,
somebody's
of course, and what you just put out there shows that the global north is the more industrialized countries. That's why they have such a high rating. And I'm glad you put that out there because it segues into this, what I'm getting ready to put on you. This is 2023. Well, last year in 2022, when we had those city council elections, the Darling Rendering Plant, known as Darling International, put money behind three city council members. Lisa Pereira in District 1, Luis Chavez in District 5, and Nelson Esperanza in District 7.
Wow.
Why? Why locally? Because they wanted to make sure they had skin in the game, that somebody was going to represent their interests on that city council.
Right.
So that lets you know why certain votes.
Yeah.
That lets you know why certain votes.
Picking the planning commission as well. And I believe Reverend Harris brought that up Tuesday, but you're absolutely right. They wanted to make sure that they had skin in the game, that they have votes on the council. It's no mistake how the lobbyists work it. No mistake at all. So what is the solution to this?
Well, let me finish up.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead. And now, not only that, they decided to double down because they wanted to make sure that they would be taken care of in Sacramento. So they sent Adam Gray money. They gave Kevin McCarthy money. They gave Jim Patterson money. Then they jumped over to District 8 a name that I know you're going to recognize, Esmeralda Sora.
Yep. Yep, I sure do. My city councilwoman. Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I used to live in the district for 27 years before I moved back to West Fresno. So, yeah, I know. That's
yeah.
her.
So then they funneled some money to a guy by the name of Gilbert Felix, who was in the state center community college trustee. Then they sent some money to Matt Blaisdell over on Clover City Council, Drew Blessing, Clover City Council, Cal Cheney in the Clover City Council. Now, I know a lot of people out there probably say, well, what's the big deal? I mean, you got to have politicians to function. The big deal is they was making sure they stacked the deck so that they can do what they wanted to do.
Exactly. And that's what lobbyists do. They, you know, that's what these big companies do. And that's why they have okay, so that's why the rendering plants, the dairy farmers, those large dairy farmers, and land developers have had a stranglehold on Fresno County for lo these many years.
Exactly.
Yes. Yes, I agree.
And Pastor Harris couldn't have put it better when he connected the dots to Harris Ranch, to Cargill, to the rendering plant. That's like 1, 2, 3. All those dominoes fell right into place.
Yeah, they did.
And by the way, Dr. Harris, if you're still on the line, a young lady whose children are using us for a study, they wanted to know who was the guy talking with us that had the very white voice. So, yeah, they thank you to hit.
And that was so funny to me for those of us who know you, Rev.
Man, I died laughing when they told me this.
I know you did. Because we're not just talking black with a capital B. We're talking blackity black.
Man.
Black Panther black. Pan African black. Oh, my goodness. That's funny.
But you know, you're right, Sister Reed.
I wanted to share something with you, and I'll be brief as I can. I'm heading to the gym to throw some weights around and lift weights and what have you. Being in the struggle to fight, you got to be in shape. And so I do my best to keep myself in shape mentally, physically, and spiritually. So I guess I'm going to go deal with some of this tonight. Brother Tony, your listening audience, if you would please, because I don't want to chop this brother's name up, but I believe his name is Carlton. If you can look up real quick, if you can, the first black mayor in Tulare City. I believe his name is Carlton. He was a brother who sued the Fresno Fire Department for discrimination at one time here in Fresno, Mississippi, Fresno. And then he had moved to Tulare. So I'm going to connect the dots again from the grapevine all the way down to Stockton, because we have big ag farmers all across the San Joaquin Valley. Those know that the San Joaquin Valley feeds over 90% of the nation in food, crops, produce. And so there's a lot of money. I would call it old money that's generated from here centuries ago, all the way back to the 1900s, all the way back to the 1800s, and you have to bring it all the way up till today. I believe the brother name is Carlton. He was the first black mayor.
Would it be Carlton Jones? Carlton Jones.
I believe that's who it is.
Because, yeah, 2009 they arrested him in Tulare, but he was later acquitted. Yeah, Carlton Jones. He's from the fire department here.
Yeah, he works for the Fresno Fire Department, but he was the first black mayor in the city of Tulare.
In the city of Tulare.
So real quickly, I want to give your listening audience a synopsis real quick of what happened, because your topic is about environmental racism tonight, and it connects all the way back to Fresno. Now, what happened was Brother Carlton was the first black mayor of Tulare. Great accomplishment, right? Probably no one ever thought that we would have had a black man as the mayor of Tulare. So we know that there's big ag, and we have to. And I'm really glad that you did your research on the politicians that are here in Fresno and how you connected the campaign donations directly to those who have special interests to make sure that their interest is kept safe. Not the community, but individual capitalist built companies. So Carlton became the mayor of Tulare. I believe he was on the seat, on the dice for at least 2 or 3 years before this situation happened, before they exiled him, kicked him off from being mayor of Tulare. Now, what happened was he was, I believe, having a conversation with someone on Facebook or Messenger or something. And please have your listening audience go read and do the research on this, because this, what happened to him, was a 21st century lynching. Let me say that again. What happened to the mayor of Tulare, Brother Carlton, this was a 21st century lynching, how they disposed of this brother who was telling the truth. Now, somehow or another, whoever he was talking to leaked what he said to someone else, to, I guess, a very reputable farmer, big farmer. And I believe what he said was that the omissions that the equipment, let me go back to the equipment, because, you know, we have old equipment and we have new equipment for his farm equipment. And the new farm equipment costs some money. Now, if you ever go to the Tulare tractor.
No, the ag show. That ag show. The international ag show.
The Tulare ag show.
Yeah.
That is a national, international ag show where they bring in new equipment from Japan, from all over the world, right, to today's modern times of doing business and ag. Well, what he said was the farmers do not want to spend the money on purchasing the new equipment so that it will reduce the emissions, because we already know that we have a lot of people living in poverty that do not cannot afford health care and have asthma. And when they use these equipments, it's hurting the ozone, it's hurting the people in the community. And this got leaked out to the big farmers, right? Now, let me tell you. Now, I was in Las Vegas at the time. It was storming in Las Vegas. And I could not even get back to the valley if I wanted to, right? What happened was the farmers from the grapevine all the way down to Stockton, maybe Sacramento, all the way up from Los Banos, they all collaborated together to get this brother out of office, because he told the truth about Big Ag do not want to spend the money to buy the correct equipment that will help reduce asthma for poor people. I'm telling you, look it up for yourself. Look, and you'll see
how I'm looking at it now. And what he did was, you know, the statement he made, you know, and he made them to someone in private. And like you said, they leaked it out. And all he said was that that equipment was, he felt like it was causing asthma and cancer rates to rise. And they went after this man with pitchforks and torches.
Yep. I remember this, Rev, because you were talking about, you know, getting some people together here and going down there to support this brother. Yeah, he was only in office from 2016 to 2018. I remember this very well. Yes. So you tell the truth in this valley about Big Ag, and you pay the cost because they don't want to hear it.
No.
What you just laid out, that's environmental racism right there. That's what it is.
Exactly. That's environmental racism. And as you know, Big Ag has always had its foot on the throat of the valley. Because growing up, remember those commercials for Northrop King?
Yep.
And that's all you saw in the valley in a field was a Northrop King sign.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I remember it very well. They had a stranglehold on, like, Saturday and Sunday mornings because they had all the ag shows on. And they were showing all the things that were grown here and all of that. But they didn't want to talk about the farm workers, the black and brown farm workers who were out there suffering. And so this is the hard part for me. When we talk about things like this, about environmental racism, because it seems like it's so difficult to fight it because they have so much money. But I really believe that people power, at least we, you know, by spreading knowledge, we can start to make a dent and getting people involved. Because I remember very, very well how strong Big Ag is. Do you remember the great boycott of the 70s? I mean, that was huge, and it was farm workers against Big Ag, against the growers. It's always been like that in California.
They were fighting for a better contract because they had those farm workers out there literally working for pennies.
Yeah. Right, and I remember when they finally got rid of the short handle hoe. That was a big problem.
Yeah, that was a big problem.
But Reverend Harris, you are absolutely correct about this brother losing his mayoral seat because of a private conversation that he had with somebody. And what can be done to fight this? And this is the kind of things that we were going to be talking about tonight, because I know that groups like Leadership Council have had meetings after meetings after meetings about environmental racism and what we're going to do about it. And we're still fighting the same fight in 2023. And the city of Fresno continues to give permits to build these warehouses with all these big trucks with the diesel fuel and the diesel emissions. So what can we do, Brother Tony, to fight this?
One of the things that people in the city of Fresno have got to stop doing is getting frustrated and stop fighting, because what they will do is, well, we tried to talk to so-and-so. We tried to talk to so-and-so locally, and nothing seems to get done. It does not hurt to start tapping on those doors in Sacramento and lay out exactly what you're talking about. In order to win a fight, you got to stay in a fight.
You got to stay in it. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. And, you
exactly.
know, lawsuits don't hurt either. And I'm hoping that that's what's going to happen.
But like you just said, it is not a sprint. It is a marathon, and you got to stay in it.
Got to stay in it. You got to stay in it. Because we across the country, we have so many examples of this kind of thing happening, whether it's in Flint, Michigan, or Jackson, Mississippi with their water, or the Dakota Access Pipeline. over here in West Fresno with the air quality and the dump, the landfills that Reverend Harris laid out for us so eloquently on Tuesday. Enough is enough. You know, I mean, we're talking about taking years off people's lives. So I agree with you, Brother Tony. Maybe it's time for folks to level up. Don't just stop at the local level. Go to Sacramento, and if Sacramento don't listen, hey, we need to go to D.C.
Exactly.
You know, we're electing people who are not listening to us, and that has to change. And I'm circling back to the lawsuits. At least that will get us some recognition and maybe get people looking at and buying into what's going on, because I remember all the stuff that's been left here in 93706 that has not been cleaned up. There are a lot of sites that had gas stations on it that had, you know, different chemical stuff on it that's never been cleaned up. You just left it. The landowners
exactly.
just left it.
And you'd be surprised how many of these closed down former gas stations still have gas and oil sitting in these underground storage tanks, because wherever a gas station was, when that gas truck come in, they pump that into the bottom, into those storage tanks. Now, when that when that station closes up, the corporation company is supposed to come back and take that gas up out of there. But that does not always happen. I remember when I lived in Victorville, there was a gas station that set off the road on the way to Vegas, off one of the roads, that had closed down. Well, come to find out, people discovered that those two big underground tanks were full of gas. And they fixed it to where they could go in there, fill their cars up, and roll on out. They did this for like 2 or 3 years before anybody got hip to what they was doing.
Wow.
It just so happened a highway patrol noticed that they were like this line of cars at this empty gas station. He knew it was empty because you could see the top of the gas station from the road, but he saw the top of the headlights flashing into the desert night, because out there are no street lights. And this is off the 15 heading out towards Vegas and Baker. That's what caught his attention. He was in there, and all four pumps were going. People just lined up behind each other, filling up.
Mm-hmm.
And come to find out that a Shell Corporation had operated that station at one time, and, you know, they got the news out to them, and they was like, hey, that was on the list to be sucked dry, but thanks for letting us know, and they finally got out there.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
oh, yeah.
Just think, for the time that it sat there and nobody went there, these things don't last forever. They start to rust out. They start to disintegrate, and that gasoline and oil leaks into the soil and into the groundwater.
You know, you put me in mind of something that happened here locally. I believe it was in either Calwa or Malaga. Rev, do you remember this, where this was a predominantly Hispanic community? And a lot of them did not speak English. A lot of them were from rural Mexico. And they had oil that was in underground tanks that was leaching into their water out there. And it was a big thing for this had to have been about 7, 8, maybe 9 years ago. But anyway, they made such a stink was made about it that I believe the city went out there, or the county went out there and cleaned it up. But it took a while for them to get to it. But this stuff was
moving
to the
sure.
top. Yeah.
I'm quite sure it took a while for them to get to it.
This is how
because
they do it.
Because what happens is somebody will mention it, and it's like, oh, well, Are you sure? And then somebody will bring the information forward, and they do that foot dragging game.
Well, yeah. They do it because they can do it.
Yeah, especially if it's a black or brown community. They do that foot dragging game.
Absolutely. But, you know, I can't remember who it was. It was either Reverend Harris or it was you, Brother Tony, that said West Fresno built Fresno, because most of the industrial plants and all this stuff started out over here because they didn't want it on the other side of town. So
that's a true story.
Them having all this industrial business over here, and then let's not forget all the money that had been siphoned from West Fresno from the general plan and the block grants and all of that. So we know that, yeah, West Fresno built Fresno.
It's
documented.
And one of the areas that should thank us is River Park, where we're not even welcome.
Well, yeah. Well,
and
yeah.
I don't care
and
what nobody says. A lot of money that should have gone to the west side of Fresno ended up out there in the building of River Park.
Absolutely.
So, Brother Tony, if I could chime in just for a second. I'm
go ahead.
About to leave you all in a minute to join the gym. So the conclusion on the brother from Tulane, the sad part, like I said, I couldn't get back there. I was in another state. Is that, now, you all correct me if I'm wrong. Has there ever been a black mayor anywhere in the San Joaquin Valley?
No.
There was
not to find out.
There was
and he was the first one in Tulare.
Right. We had a brother in Stockton.
Was the first one in Tulare, but there was one in Stockton a couple of years ago. I think his name was Kevin Little.
Well, that was
Kevin
Johnson. He used to play for the Phoenix Suns. He was a basketball player.
No, that's the one in Sacramento. I'm talking about the one in Stockton.
Oh, yeah, but remember, that's not the San Joaquin Valley. That's the Delta.
Right.
Okay. Okay, go ahead.
Right. So here's my point. The point is that when this brother got lynched from telling the truth about Big Ag, he was speaking for the little man. He was speaking for those who were disfranchised. He was speaking for those who could not afford the best health care. And for all the farmers to come, I'm telling you, man, when you do the research and you look how these people, or when I say people, I'm talking about the farmers, how they organized the whole valley to go into Tulare and protest and had rallies outside the city council office. And they removed that brother. This is the part that we don't understand. They removed this brother for telling the truth.
Yeah.
Okay?
They did.
Now, here's the other sad part. Not one black organization nowhere in the state of California came to his aid.
Nope.
You know why they didn't come to his aid? Because our people are easy to buy off. The NAACP in Sacramento didn't come. They're the largest so-called, and it's really, listen, NAACP is not a founded black organization. It was founded by a white. Okay, do your research and you'll see what I'm talking about. It's persuaded to be a black organization. Nowhere in the state of California, not one NAACP come to that brother A for telling the truth. We're not talking about this brother who molested a child. We're not talking about this brother who robbed Bank of America. We're not talking about this brother who did something that was unethical. He told the truth. And he got removed from the mayorship
of Tulare City Hall.
Yep.
Okay?
Yes, he did.
And so my point is to your listening audience, as I get ready to go, understand in the 21st century, just because you look black don't mean that your heart is for our people.
Well, exactly. I say that all the time. All your skin folks ain't your kin folks. And what they did was they opened him out of office, replaced him with David Machado, who, of course, was their sock puppet. He stood up for everything Big Ag told him to.
And now they got a white woman in there.
They had already picked this guy out. And before the day was over with, his name was put up as mayor. And he took over in December.
Right. And Carlton Jones was just a member of the city council. He was no longer mayor. That's right.
Yeah. And then they tried to bring up these trumped up charges, which he was later acquitted of. But in the meantime, they done damage to his good name.
Exactly. But you know what? It's like somebody had posted something about from Malcolm this week. And it said that we're not outnumbered, we're out-organized. And it's true. And my point is this. What's the use of having an organization if it's easily bought off? So NAACP didn't show up, BAPAC didn't show up, none of the fraternal orders showed up, the fraternities, sororities, none of them showed up. Nobody showed up for this brother. So,
well, apparently not, because they felt like it wasn't their fight. And again, like you just said, they was bought off. But before Reverend Harris disappears, I want to say this. You know, Reverend Harris, earlier today, we gave a shout-out to Fresno Freedom School and that big, beautiful write-up that we got in the Business Journal. Like I said earlier, I want to thank you for having that vision of making that dream come true and for allowing us to join you on that journey. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
You know, I appreciate your nice words. I give God all the credit for and his children and the parents for allowing me, our current president, Eileen Reed, Shai Joyce, going to be bringing on some new board members. As I teach someone that it's not about me, it's about the community, it's about the children. It's a lot of work. I'm not going to sit up here and say it's easy. Funding is difficult to get without compromising your principles. We have never done that. We have never stepped on anybody to make ourselves look good or sound good. We treat everyone with dignity and respect. We love our children. No matter what condition they're in. And, you know, like I said, Fresno Freedom School will always be our home. We're starting to expand in different cities now, different states. Yeah, different cities and different states. People see, many people in the city has copycatted our model. There's been different organizations that we've written grants with and collaborated with has stole money from us and didn't give us our portion of the grant.
Right.
But, the bottom line is that we're still standing. We're still standing. And that says a lot for our character. And I tell our board this and our children, one of the biggest things that life you can have is integrity and character and trustworthiness. And we have all of that. We may not have all those commas and zeros in the bank. But you know what? We got love in our heart. All of our children know that has come through our program. We're going to put over 113 kids, help them get into HBCU colleges. My son just recently works for the USDA in Green Bay, Wisconsin. He graduated from Southern University. He came through the Fresno Freedom School. We gave him the foundation. We gave him the foundation of to be successful. And that's what we want. We want our children to be conscious. We want our children to know about their history. We want our children to understand what slavery was and for them to understand that we're still not out of slavery. It's just a different dance and a different melody. And so in saying that in closing, I appreciate the shout-out. This Saturday will be our last session. We want to make sure it's fun. I'm going to take the kids swimming after our event is over. And just to show my appreciation for all the hard work they do. And those new board members that's coming on. And I want to give a shout-out to our old board members. You know, we wouldn't be where we are today had not been for the, you know, good, bad, and
true that.
You know, we thank them for what they have contributed, right? The collaboration, the partnership, the conversation. You know, so sometimes, you know, life changes, you know. Sometimes we have to move on for different reasons. And that's okay, you know. But I just thank God that the integrity and the character is solid with Fresno Freedom School, from the children all the way down to the parents, all the way down to the institution. I believe our sister from Sacramento gave us an award. What's her name, Sally?
Melissa Hurtado. Melissa Hurtado. This is her team.
Right. Mm-hmm. Gave us an award to be the number one nonprofit in her district. And so, I tell everybody, Brother Tony, everybody's happy and I'm tired, you know. So that's why I'm at the gym right now to get some strength back. So, you know, but hopefully we see everybody out there this Saturday at 7 at Free AME Ministry. And please pass along that
I will do that.
Article, and our website is www.fresnofreedom.org. You know, you can donate there. Look at what we're doing. I mean, we even got people all the way from Atlanta, Georgia, that's working with us right now, potential board members. So, you know, like I said, Aileen, say what you always say about the fever.
Well, you know, if you come to Fresno Freedom School and you hang around with our children and our volunteers and our board members, you're going to catch it. You're going to catch the Freedom School fever. You can't help it. The writer who came out to do this article about Freedom School from the Business Journal, he caught it. He caught it and came and stayed all day with us the day that he came out. And I hope to see him and his nephew this Saturday. You're right, Reverend Harris.
Yeah.
You're right. So have fun at the gym. When you get a chance, check your email, because we had something that we need to take care of. But anyway, thank you so much for coming on the show, Rev.
Yes, we appreciate you coming tonight.
Yes.
Yeah, and Brother Tony, also shout out to you for participating and coming. Our young man loves to see other conscious men other than myself. Sometimes I get on them, but you're there to encourage them, and you're there to want them to excel and be the best man that they could be. And so we need that, you know, that's that Black Panther style philosophy, ideology that we have here. And so I want to thank you as a brother for, you know, coming out and support and helping us, me and Aileen, as we move this organization to another level.
I appreciate that, Pastor. And one thing is a fact. I will always stand for our children, because that's what the village does. We take care of our villagers. And those children are our villagers. That's our next generation, and we got to make sure that they stand strong and tall. And it is our job to teach them to do exactly that. So yes, I appreciate that, Pastor. But I will always be right there with you.
All right, I'll say good night to you.
All right, have a good workout.
So listeners, this is the quality of people that we're talking about that are fighting a good fight here in Fresno, California. Brother Tony.
Yes, Sister Reed. You know, that's all we can do. We have to stand on our principles. And one thing Pastor said that I appreciate is that we've walked on nobody. We've stepped over nobody. We've held our own ground and did our own thing. And I'm just going to tell you, what we do has definitely been imitated, but it can never be duplicated. There's
That's
only one. There's no freedom.
Please, Ben, how did you put that?
Yeah. A lot of people have tried to imitate us, but they can't duplicate us. There is only one Fresno Freedom School. Now, we have folks in Visalia, in Sanger, in Bakersfield, in Chowchilla, and they work with us. But this is the real deal. This is the original. Fresno Freedom School will stand. And, there have been people who claim they wanted to work with us and work beside us. And what they do is use our name and get grants, and then they forget who we are. But we still standing. We are still here. We still find a way out of no way. We make it happen for them kids, and we will continue to do so. But we're going to get our grant situation squared away. We're going to get that worked out to where we'll take care of our own business. And, boy, when we start coming in the future, y'all better look out, because them ribbons that we won at the Fresno County Fair, that was just the beginning. That was just the beginning. We the real deal.
Look out for us. You might look up one day and see our product on a grocery store shelf. So,
be mindful. And trust me, we have the recipes to do that. It is very possible.
That's right.
We talked about environmental racism tonight, but we covered a whole bunch. We covered politics locally and nationally. We talked about environmental racism, which for our neighborhoods is always one of the main things.
Mm-hmm.
So we have covered
so
a lot for this week.
That air particle piece that you covered tonight, that was excellent. That was fire, Brother Tony. Thank you for that.
Oh, no problem. Because, like you say, I know a lot of people listen to us and go, they probably just making this up. No, everything we talk about, you can go online, find, and verify.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Because that's the one thing we don't have to do. We don't have to fake the funk. We nasty with ours. We know how to do it.
Oh yes. You hit that on the head, that nail on the head right there. Yes, indeed.
We believe in doing our research.
We always do our research, and that's the thing. We don't have to lie about these things. When we talk about environmental racism and how it's affected West Fresno, we've lived through it. Some of us are still living in it, and some of us are living with the effects of it. So let's just be clear about this. If there's ever a class action suit that's being brought for the residents that live in 93706, yourself, myself, Reverend Harris, a lot of the babies that we work with, they're all going to be recipients of that money. Why? Because we live in an area that is impacted by environmental racism in 2023. Many of our families were relocated into this area. And so we don't have to lie about that. We've got documented proof.
We have documented proof. I got a whole household that lived through that madness.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And yes, it does affect us. And like Sister Reed said earlier, That took 20 years off our lives. And trust and believe me, it is a detriment to what our quality of life is.
Thank you, Brother Tony. You said it perfectly. You said it perfectly. Our quality of life has been impacted. And now that I'm a senior citizen officially at 65, I want my 20 years. I want to see the young folks in my neighborhood, my nieces and nephews and great nieces and nephews. I want to see them grow up. And, you know, I might not be able to see the cleanup of my community, but just know that I will be fighting until the last breath to make sure that it happens. And I know you're right there with me, Brother Tony, on that.
Exactly, because I'm like you. There are more years behind me than in front of me. But if I can just get a few more, I'll take them. Why? I got some great nieces and nephews I need to see get a little older. I got some nephews and nieces I need to see get a little older. We still got work to do. And this little raggedy show that we do, that's part of the work we do.
I love it when you call our show a little raggedy show, because I love this little raggedy show that we do. It's important.
And that's why when we come on here, we try to come straight with the truth as best we can. That's why when we talk about stuff, we done some research on it.
Oh, yeah.
Those names you heard me mention tonight, I went and checked it out.
And I'm grateful that you did. And so this helps people to connect the dots with these politicians, the environmental racism, the lobbyists in between, who's voting for what and why. And it's really not complicated, people. It's really not. This is public information. But Brother Tony was cool enough to look all this stuff up today because I hadn't done it. I thought about doing it, but I didn't do it. I got waylaid doing something else. But luckily, my partner in crime here was on it, and he did it. And I'm grateful. And now we all understand that we need to be looking at these politicians a little bit closer when we go into the voting booth. About what they are voting for. We need to be looking at Big Ag and what it's doing to the rest of us. We need to be looking at these trucking companies and these companies putting up these warehouses. So we're not going to stop doing what we do. We do our research, and Brother Tony's right about that.
Let me be honest. Those of you out there listening, or for those of you who download the show and listen to it later, I'm going to say this. Just like it happens in our neighborhood, it's probably happening in somewhere in your neighborhood. And don't be afraid to pay attention to what's going on. And please, don't be afraid to speak out and use your voice. I say it all the time. I will say it again before we close tonight. Your vote is your voice.
That's
Let it be heard loud and clear. Use it.
That's right.
Don't let nobody tell you from doing that.
That's right. And don't let anybody tell you that black people and brown people, that black people do not care about environmental racism, because we do. We've been in the fight a long time. And we are gathering momentum. So don't let anybody tell you that. Don't believe the hype. Don't believe it.
I keep trying to tell y'all, the journey starts with the first step. It is time for some of y'all to put them walking shoes on and get on that journey. It starts with the first step, because you have elders in your lives you care about. You have young folks in your lives that you care about. You know, it is time for you to fight for them.
That's right.
It is time for you to fight for them. Sister Reed, I think you did a good thing tonight, so let's go on and tell them what we tell them.
All right. Well, y'all know what I'm going to say every Tuesday and Thursday. This is about a mindset. It's about a mindset. So please, please, please stay black until we get back with you. Brother Tony?
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. And I'm going to tell y'all what I always say, and I mean it to my heart. Each one, reach one, teach one. Those of you proficient with your arms, take your folks to the range, get them trained up, get them registered. Start a neighborhood watch. Start a cop watch. Watch the people who are watching us. Environmental racism is real as the day is long. Look around your community. See what's not been done. See what needs to be taken care of. Speak to your city council, your county supervisors, your aldermen, whatever you need to talk to, your mayors, your state representatives. But make folks aware that something ain't right. Don't just sit back and let them dog you out, because the life you save may be the life of somebody that you love very much. And that's why I'm going to end tonight. Keep your folks within your circle and keep them tight. Let's fight this good fight together. And until next week, me and Sister Reed, we're going to be working on it. But come next Tuesday, we'll holler. Y'all have a good weekend.
Yes,